We're talking real money.
Hello again. Welcome back to Talking Real Money, the show that helps you figure out what the heck you ought to be doing with your money and how you can make more of it and how you can avoid being ripped off by a lot of scurrilous scoundrels who scurry off with your cash. You can call us at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. It's free and easy. And if you call and you ask a question on the air, you get a copy of Financial Physics. Absolutely free, written by yours truly. And yes, I purposely misspelled physics. It's with an F.
So that it would be like F alliteration? Is that what the point was?
That's kind of the point. Okay. Ooh, alliteration.
I worked all morning on that one.
College graduate.
I worked on that one all morning for you, sir.
So impressed. 855-935-TALK. We'd love to talk with you. And that's our main goal, to answer your question. So since that's our main goal, then we should probably just do that and go talk to Jane, who's been waiting patiently for a while. Hi, Jane. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Jane. Thank you.
Oh.
She's running.
A cup of coffee there.
Probably took a nap, had lunch, everything else. So glad you could join us. How can we help?
Oh, okay. I'm 77. I'm single, and I don't have any money saved. I've been taking $40 out of my. I got a fixed income of almost $2,000 a month, and I take $40 out for savings. Now, about 3 years ago, I took my money out and bought a house, so I didn't have any. Too much money left over, but I do own my house outright, so I'm good about that. I don't have any credit cards. I just use debit. And I've got one daughter and a grandson. So what do I do? I don't have any money. I don't know what to do.
All right. So what is the value of your home that you own free and clear?
It's about $25,000.
The value of the house is $25,000?
Yeah, it's a mobile home.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, it must be a mobile home. Okay.
When you started saying 25 of that 25 million, we're going to have a different conversation. So, because I was trying to figure out maybe you could borrow against your equity there. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So what you're telling us is you don't have enough regular income, or it's very tight, correct?
Right.
And you have no other assets. You have no investments to speak, nothing.
Oh, no, not unless a couple books that I wrote sell on Amazon, but...
Those won't count. Those aren't really an asset.
You take Don's book and resell it on Amazon.
So you're getting Social Security.
Yes, and then I have a small pension.
Small pension.
Boeing.
Yeah, and how short are you on a monthly basis?
Oh, I'm not. I manage to pay all my bills, get groceries, and still have some money left over. I don't.
Then you're fine. Just
owe anybody.
Just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I don't know what you'd change under that circumstance.
Yeah, Jane, just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing fine. You'll make it through the rest of your time with the rest of us on the planet. You can enjoy your life at times. You got, as you said, you got a little left over, and I would just keep plugging along. Thanks so much for the call, Jane. We appreciate it. 855-935-TALK is our number, and it's absolutely free. We want to talk to you. Let's go ahead and go to Donna. We only have about a minute before the break. But Donna, welcome to Talking Real Money.
How can we help you?
Okay, I have a question. I don't know if you heard about the GE's pension that was terminated as of this week.
And a great deal about it, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I'm one of those people. I didn't work for GE for very long, but I do have a small pension with them. So what do I do? I'm one of those people that are probably going to get a lump sum.
Yep.
How do I, can I add that? I have a Roth IRA with VCU. Can I just add this
nope.
to that, or does it have to be separate?
Cannot add it to your Roth, because this is, that would be pre-tax money. The Roth is post-tax. But.
Well, you could, but you'd pay taxes
you'd have to roll
when
it out.
You
yeah.
do the conversion. Yeah.
yeah. You'd have to move
oh.
it to an IRA rather than a Roth IRA.
Oh, okay.
The
okay.
question I think for
okay.
you really is, should you take the lump sum or should you get the annuity payout over time? That's, and can you hang on? We'll talk more about that in a minute.
Yeah.
Sure.
This
okay.
Because
we had it come up in another conversation this week as well. Kind of a hot topic.
855-935-TALK is our number. 855-935-8255. We're going to talk a little bit about the GE pension freeze and a lot more. You just have to give us a call. If you do call and you ask a question on the air, you get a copy of Financial Physics for free. That's a lot of alliteration.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Do you need a little help with your investments? Set up a free, no-obligation appointment with one of our advisors at TalkingRealMoney.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
We're talking to Donna. Donna called about the General Electric news. It just came out this week where General Electric is freezing the pension plan of about 20,000 current workers, non-union employees, and then they're offering pension buyouts to another 100,000 former employees
yep.
To help them get out of debt. Now, the way the freeze deal, which takes effect in 2021, will reduce the monthly payments of those current employees when they start taking their retirement pension at 65. The buyout is a lump sum benefit, or you can take the smaller, you know, your monthly, whatever that pension
annuity payout,
payout is
John, generally.
And then annuity payout.
And so your question, Donna, was what exactly?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so tell us about your...
Well, my question is, yeah, I mean, what would be the best way for me to reinvest the money?
Oh, well, that's a different matter. I mean, so you mean take the
lump sum
and reinvest it.
Not at BECU,
and
where your
them.
Roth shouldn't
yeah.
be either.
Yeah.
BECU is a great place to bank.
Fees are low, you're an owner. Yep, and no, they,
not a great yeah. place to invest your long-term retirement money, in our opinion.
No, if you're going to do this on your own, as we've recommended many times on the program, you would go to Vanguard.com. You would open,
yep.
in this case, an IRA for yourself. You would put in a certain percentage in the VTWAX, which is the stock.
VTWAX,
yep,
which is the Vanguard Total World Stock Index Fund.
And then a certain amount in the Total Bond Fund, which is VBMFX, I believe. I think I have that right. Don's questioning me, as he always does. But I think and then you would build that portfolio with those two funds. That would be that, if you're going to do it on your own. We would not go to BECU again. We love them as a institution of banking. I use them for that purpose, but I do not for my investments, because they actually use a broker dealer affiliated with them.
I hadn't even thought about that. Let's see, what'd you say the symbol was?
Isn't
for Vanguard Total Bond?
VBMFX?
No, VBTLX.
I'm close. There's some VBs.
No, you're not.
Okay. All right, listen. Bottom line is, it's up on the website,
no,
right?
No, you're not.
Isn't it on the website?
It is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So you would simply open an IRA if you're going to do it on
your own. How old are you? How old are you, Donna?
57.
Yeah. 57. And how long do you think you're going to leave this money invested?
Oh, probably at least another 10 years or so.
Yeah, but then you're probably
enough.
I'm sorry?
I was going to say I have enough in my other 401k, 457s, and annuities and stuff. But my other question, really the main question, was if I choose the annuity, how would that work with GE? I didn't quite understand that.
Well, you can then elect to take it at certain ages. I mean, there may be an age at 60, 61.
65,
65
for most, I think,
yeah.
is the age, yeah. But here's the problem. You have people keep talking about these pension annuities, any annuity, like it's absolutely safe. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of pensions are underfunded. And GE's is right there on the list, and if they're not able to meet those obligations in the future, this is why I don't believe insurance companies. I don't believe companies with their promises of pensions, because they've been such bald-faced liars in the past about what they've done with the money.
Yeah.
So
there's,
I'm tempted to lump sum
it. It's a trade-off. You're taking more risk.
You take a different kind of risk,
right? Instead of getting the monthly amount. By the way, so thank you, Donna, for that. We had an email earlier this week from Michael, who's in the same situation.
I gave it to Derek,
one of our advisors who's here, and I said, should he take the lump sum or should he take the payout? The payout would be, the lump sum, pardon me, would be about $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
The monthly amount is about $3,400 at age, I think it's 60. What is it, Derek?
Age 60.
60. So I asked Derek what the right answer is. The right answer is?
It depends.
It depends.
That's always the right answer.
On the other hand, yes. How come? What's it depend on?
Well, it depends on a few things. So there's an increased benefit if you retire at 60. So if it is possible based on your other income and assets to retire at 60, that might make sense. But with that being said, if you have other assets you can live off of, so you don't need that monthly income, and you can take the lump sum and let that amount grow for a longer period of time, then the lump sum would probably make sense.
But you have to then deal with the emotional aspect of taking the money and investing it and seeing the value of that go up and down.
Correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
But the good news would be, in my mind, that if you take the lump sum and you invest it, the likelihood is you can take more out of that over time. The likelihood is you can leave that to others, whereas your pension generally not.
And the thing that nobody brings up because of our level of trust. In fact, I've been reading Malcolm Gladwell's new book on trusting and how we default to trust.
Yep.
We keep thinking that insurance companies and companies don't lie about their ability to make their payments. Like, we talk about insurance companies as if they can guarantee, absolutely guarantee, that you're going to get X amount of money every month for the rest of your life. We cannot guarantee that. There's even risk there. And when it's a company like GE that's in financial trouble and debt up to their eyeballs, who knows if they can make those future pension obligations? Yes, it would go back to the pension guarantee trust.
You get
but
less.
What, yeah.
You end
but,
up with
but,
less. Yeah.
But there's a lot of buts involved. There is no absolute answer. We've had this question a lot. Boeing,
sure,
not too long ago, did a big buyout plan.
That's right. Yep.
The answer is you have to, the ultimate, there is no answer. Derek said it perfectly. It depends. There is no right answer. The right answer is very personal.
I would say this, though. If you know yourself well enough to know that, look, I'd rather just have whatever X amount a month, I don't want to worry about what's going on in the market, all that noise, then take the X amount a month. And realize, you're right, that something could go wrong at GE or something could go wrong at Boeing. I mean, there's that chance.
The number of underfunded pension plans
this
country is enormous. It truly is enough to bankrupt the pension guarantee trust that we have backstopping these programs.
Yeah.
So, you know, it could be something in the future. You know, people in the 90s, remember when we had the savings and loan crisis?
Sure.
And people said, well, their savings and loans are absolutely safe. They're backed by FSLIC. Well, FSLIC ran out of money. Or whatever it was. It wasn't FDIC.
No.
It was another one.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was called. Yeah, Federal Savings and Loan Insurance Corporation, FSLIC. Bad things happen. There have been big insurance companies fail. Executive Life in California went down years ago. And the people who were supposed to be getting payouts from them had to extend those for many, many years. They didn't get what they were promised. Life is filled with risks. And one of the biggest problems we have as human beings is wanting absolutist answers.
Can't get one, especially in this situation.
You can't.
And by the way, the only withdrawal rate we can really tell you on your money is in the rearview mirror too.
Oh, speaking of that,
we can't just say if you just take out 4% a year, and we don't know.
In the last hour, we were talking about bad advice in books.
I want to thank Derek, for coming in and helping on
thanks,
that.
Thanks, Derek. In Dave Ramsey's book, he actually states that you can take from your investments an 8% safe withdrawal rate. 8% safe withdrawal rate. Talk about bad advice. Dave Ramsey gives some of the worst investing advice on the face of this earth, and yet he argues the opposite.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
It may not be the sexiest website in the world, but it's your one-stop shop for real money information, talkingrealmoney.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
You know, I mentioned in the last hour that we manage about $500 million at our firm Vestory. We're approaching half a billion. We're 400 and something.
It's close to 470 today, by the way.
Well, then we're close to half
a
billion.
There you go. All right.
There you go. But now, that sounds like a lot. It does, doesn't it?
Not if you're in the business, it's not.
Ken Fisher.
Yeah.
Fisher Invest. You see his ads everywhere. They're
ubiquitous.
Yeah, they're just like,
TV,
oh my God,
TV,
another Ken
internet,
Fisher ad.
Yep, radio all over the place.
Ken Fisher's firm, Fisher Investments, manages about $100 billion.
He's one of the largest, if not the largest.
He is the largest.
Okay.
Largest registered investment advisory firm.
Yeah.
In the world.
That you
he has a net worth of $3.7 billion.
Yeah, which gives him, you know, kind of a pedestal. You know, he can kind of run around and talk to other advisors and tell them. And by the way, I think I mentioned last hour I had him on my television show more than a decade ago.
You did?
I did.
Did his forehead fit?
Barely through the door. We waxed
barely.
It. Just slipped it through. And he was a bit of an odd duck then. I thought his answers were a little strange. And now he's... kind of done
his
it again.
Duckiness, his weird duckiness got bigger. There was, and this was in the advisor, but we've known about Ken, and Ken's people are very aggressive.
Oh,
when,
boy, they are. That was going to be my point to the story, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, we're going to get to that in a minute, and we don't like their investments either. We'll talk about that in a minute, though, but here's the story. Earlier this week, there was this big CEO summit of all these CEOs.
Of advisors. Of advisory companies.
Advisory companies.
Like us. Yeah.
And he was hosting a fireside chat.
Yeah, he's just sitting down talking about how what works, what doesn't.
And he said some things, and I'm not going to repeat what he said.
You can go online and read them. They're right there. It was on the Seattle Times.
You can read it online. Yep. But he basically said that getting new clients was like getting a woman in bed with you.
Yeah, basically.
And he made comments about genitalia.
And branding. Not of the company type, but of the actual, that type. Yeah.
Oh.
It's weird. I guess it's strange.
That
and
sounds
very,
like
very
Nexium.
Sexist. Very sexist comments.
Oh, beyond sexist. Yeah. And what's interesting is that, there has been a backlash. The state of Michigan has $600 million that Ken Fisher manages for them.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Pulled the plug.
A number of other states are thinking about doing the same thing. But, you know, the stuff he said was stupid. He even compared himself to Jeffrey Epstein.
Yes.
He said, I'm not like Jeffrey Epstein.
Kind of sounded a little bit like
good.
It. Yeah.
But those are stupid things. But I got to tell you, we don't like Fisher Investment for a totally different set of reasons.
Two reasons. Number one, Ken honestly believes he can pick stocks to beat the market. And we know through client experience that he has a poor track record of doing that. And Barron's has looked at his track record and said, it's hard to put your finger on it because your portfolio looks different than the next guy's, et cetera. So it's always hard to know the performance.
Yeah, and he doesn't publish for general purposes.
Yeah, so he doesn't just tell you. But and then the second part, the thing that I dislike, that I think you can take away from this recent incident very well, is, no, he still operates in it's a very aggressive culture. The Fisher Invest, once they have your name, they are on you. I mean, they work it hard. It's a sales-driven organization. If you're a registered investment advisor, in my heart of hearts, I don't think you should be. Remember, you have a fiduciary responsibility to the people that you help. Ken, it feels just very salesy and like, we got to get the client and here's how you do it. That makes me nervous. And he's always been that way.
Oh, yeah. No, he's very aggressive. And the other thing that bothers me personally is that he charges too much.
I don't even know what he charges now.
He charges on the first $1 million, 1.25%. And the next $4 million, 1.125%.
Wow.
So
good money
if you have $5 million with him, you're paying almost 1.2% per year, whereas with $5 million at any other decent fee-only advisory firm, you'd probably pay half that, and you'd get advice that wasn't stock picking, and we hate hot stock picking. We don't believe it works, or we don't believe it can work. 855-935-TALK.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Download the advisor interview form and find out if your advisor's a fiduciary at talkingrealmoney.com.
worry future. We're talking real money.
Give us a call at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. Here on Talking Real Money, I'm Don, that's Tom. We want to help you manage money better, logically, sensibly, scientifically, better. 855-935-TALK, and you get a free copy of my easy-to-read book, Financial Physics, the only guide you'll ever need to managing and money and investing stuff like that.
Now, by the way, do you know where Ken Fisher's headquarters is based? Headquarters
near
is?
Vancouver.
Yeah. Hey, moved up here to Camas, Washington.
Camas.
Due to taxation of California.
Yeah, actually, it was really, really a good move because he can then go across into Oregon and buy stuff without paying sales tax.
I'm going to let you say that. Okay, go ahead. You know where Don lives, so.
Hey, I'm now in a state with an income tax and a sales tax, so.
Yeah.
I got both. Is that stupid of me or what? No, do you know what else Fisher did at this conference, though? He also said charities were problematic, that they were...
I didn't understand that quote. I saw it, but I didn't know what the context of that was.
He said they're dishonest. I don't know the context. I know.
Okay.
But you know what's interesting? This conference, this Tiburon conference.
Part of California.
This conference shows how this industry makes too darn much money. These guys apparently charge you as a client way too much because do you know what it costs to attend this conference?
I don't know. I've never been invited.
We're not even on the list.
No, we're not on the list.
No.
How much?
$25,000
Really?
Wow. To attend the conference.
Okay.
That doesn't include hotel and
the price
accommodations.
Of Ken Fisher looking like a, you know what? Priceless.
Priceless.
Yeah, there you go.
He's been banned from future conferences.
Yeah, I read that. You know, I mean, come on. Anyway, I don't think that he cares. I mean, remember his first response to all this was, I've been saying the same thing for years and no one's gotten mad at me. Okay.
Really?
The same thing. And then he later said, yeah, that wasn't, you know, the smartest thing. Anyway, so. My point was, it shows you the culture of the Fisher organization. It's a sales-driven organization. The point he was trying to make was, here's how you sell people. I don't think that that's what the industry should be focused on. That's my take.
I agree. Right. And that's, you know, and to compare it with...
I don't even want to go there. If you want to know, you can go read it yourself. That's right. You can go read it yourself.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, there's a video of a guy who was at the conference saying what he said.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Golly. 855-935-TALK is our phone number. 855-935-8255. Give us a call. We'll talk about money and the way it should be managed. And one of the things Ken Fisher does is he manages money based on future predictions. I know more about the future than anybody.
And he wrote a column in
Forbes.
Forbes for 20-odd years.
Years. I used to read it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And the prediction wasn't good, is what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying predicting. It really, if you just think about it logically, think about it for a second. Do you believe you can accurately predict any part of the future? Really, accurately. No, you can guess at it, and you might get it right once in a while. That's why we believe in passive investing. Not actively picking things. You buy the market, you hold it. It used to be called indexing, but indexing isn't appropriate. It doesn't cover enough. But there has always been, ever since Vanguard came up with the first public index fund, the industry, Wall Street, hates indexing.
How come?
They hate it.
Why?
They think, well, it used to be there. They called it un-American. It's un-American to just buy the market. We are Americans try to win. We're winners. We don't settle for average. Well, now there's a new refrain.
Yes.
About indexing, and that is that it is dangerous.
Yeah,
that indexing is bad.
The upshot, and this was, it came out again because it was on NPR this week. It was also in Bloomberg a few weeks ago because somebody's predicting that it's a big bubble. that people are putting all this money in index funds, and because there's no one sort of fix the aspect of active management that makes a market is people buying and selling. That is still happening. It's about two-thirds of the industry that still does that, for one thing. And we could get it, but
and
I think
you know
it's
what?
A silly
but
argument.
The thing is, it'll never stop. People will always try to beat the market, and those of us who know we can't can just kind of ride along with them as they play their game.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Just about everything you need to know about money can be found at our website, talkingrealmoney.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
It's what we do. We talk real money. Oh, by the way, we won't be talking real money next Saturday.
They think the pigskin is more important, so they'll be taking over the airwaves. Yeah.
They're pigging out without us.
Well, so if you want to call, you better hurry.
Out.
We got 15
you gotta
minutes.
Call. Well, I just want to let you know, you can call the show or you can call the podcast 24-7 at 855-935-TALK. This phone number works all the time.
I know.
And we'll get you on the podcast, okay? All right, let's see. Gail is next. Welcome to Talking Real Money. Hi,
hello.
Gail.
Yep, how are we doing?
Hi. Good, how are you guys?
Fantastic. How can we help?
Well, I have two questions. I am a retired woman, and I'm...
I guess you were a woman, so I got that part.
Good job.
Yeah, sorry.
Thank you.
Excuse the elaboration.
No, that's fine.
No, I'm joking. It's what I do.
So my questions are, I approached a financial planner here in the Tacoma area just to get a checkup on do I have enough savings, how to manage my 401k, et cetera. And it's pretty simple stuff, but he wanted to charge me $500. And I wondered if you thought that was a reasonable price.
Wait, just for an initial kind of get-together or to build a plan of some sort?
More to build a plan.
I think $500 to build a plan is very reasonable.
To build a plan, but it
depends on what you got.
Yeah, it depends on the complexity of your plan. Let's talk a little bit. We got a second. What's the portfolio gist?
Oh, it's pretty straightforward. I have about $700 in my 401k, about $250 in cash. I own a home outright worth about $450.
Mm-hmm.
I have no debt.
Did he try to sell you an annuity?
He did mention it, yes, but they make me nervous. I don't really understand them.
Yeah, you don't need one.
No.
Okay.
No,
run away.
Yeah.
Run away.
No, I think 500, I mean,
okay, but see, now it sounds bad. I gotta tell you, it sounds like he's gonna do some sort of a charge you $500 for a plan and then sell you an annuity because a real comprehensive financial plan, a comprehensive one should run probably in the $1,000 range, $750 to $1,200, $1,500, because it really is a lot of work.
Okay.
Because it has a lot of future projections and things and recommendations. But you're going to find, this is the problem with the industry, Gail, literally, I'm not making this number up, 99% of the people in this industry are not always required to do what's best for you.
So that means 99% are non-fiduciary advisors. 99.
If you talked to 100 people, then you might find one. It's really hard.
And
we
do give you a list on our website. And yes, as somebody asked last week, it does include our firm, shockingly, that are always 100% fiduciaries. And we do see.
Yeah, we don't believe we're the only one, but we do know that we're in the minority because there's too much money to be made in selling you an annuity, like that $250,000 cash.
Yep.
If they could get you to put that into one of their indexed annuity products, which is probably what they're going to sell you. This is the popular. They're all the rage now. They would probably take home a commission of somewhere around $20,000.
Pretty good afternoon's work.
Wow, yes.
So, yeah, they're very incentivized to put you into those type of products, no question.
Okay. Well, I guess I perhaps will do a bit more research before I sign anything. But
go to Talking Real Money and look at the list of advisors. Maybe call one or two of those. Just sit down with people and shop. And then there's another thing we have at the website. Oh, this might be the perfect thing. Give this to the advisor. It's the advisor interview form. You can download it. It's a PDF. You can print it out and give it to them. Ask them to fill it out and sign it.
Oh, okay.
Then you'll find out whether or not they are 100% pure, always fiduciary.
If they refuse to sign it, they'll use some sort of an excuse like, well, our legal department won't allow that. No, but that's just an excuse because anybody who's telling you the truth and is always a fiduciary will gladly sign a document like that.
Interesting. Put your mouth where my money is.
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm using that one.
We're stealing that. We're stealing that one.
Okay.
Public domain, now it's on the radio.
Gail, but you sound like you're going to be in good shape. But yes, by the way, thank you for your phone call. But that's an interesting decision because oftentimes you could pay somebody for a plan and then go do the work yourself. What we know is most times people might start on the right track, but they might get veered off for whatever reason. So,
and we love having plans. We do. Yep. We love having plans. We just want to make sure that if you're having a plan done, plans are great. Pay for it. But we want to make sure you're doing it with someone who is always required to act in your best interest. And if the word annuity comes out of their mouth right away, then you can be pretty confident they're not. Connie, you're up next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hi, Connie.
Hi. What's up? I just have a pretty simple question. I just have a simple question. I think I have a 401k that I have. It only has about $50,000 in it. It's from a prior job or employment that I had. I left there about 3 years ago. And I need to know, I haven't done anything with it. So do I roll it over I need to roll it over, I think. But I don't even know where to begin, who to talk to. I don't know that according to the last caller, I'm not sure I trust anyone now. So I'm not sure what to do.
I don't blame you, by the way. I do not blame you for not trusting anyone. They're hard to trust. But let me tell you do you have other IRAs or anything like other than this?
I don't. I have another 401k with my current employer, but I don't have investment.
Okay. This is easy then.
Who is your current employer, by the way? Can you say?
Yeah, it was Intermountain Healthcare out of Utah.
Okay. Do we know their 401k plan?
I don't think we do.
Do you know what your 401k, your current one, is invested in? What kind of mutual funds? Vanguard, Fidelity?
The current one I have is through Fidelity, but I don't know. It's a pretty average.
I think this is a no-brainer.
I have to look at it.
Yeah, Connie, I think this is a no-brainer. Yeah. Here's what you want to do. You want to go to your old plan and have it rolled into your new employer 401k.
Transferred. Yeah, I want to clear up this terminology.
Good point.
There's two terms we throw around. Everybody uses the term rollover. A rollover is when you take possession of the money and then you move it to the new custodian. You can do what is called a direct transfer. They're so much easier and less complicated. You want to transfer it. You want to transfer it to the new 401k custodian.
So you go back to your old employer, find out who you have to talk to there to get the money moved, as Don said, directly from the old plan to the new plan, and then you only have one retirement plan, which I oftentimes run into people that have six or seven of these old ones. It's a nightmare.
There's just no reason to have all of these confusing, competing accounts, which requires you to be rebalancing all over the place. And Tom's absolutely right. Put it in the current company 401k. It probably has very reasonable, most of them do. That's a big firm, so they have very reasonable expenses. A no-brainer. I'm with you.
That makes sense?
Yes, thank you very much.
You're most welcome.
Thanks for being a part of the show.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. And a great place to stop. And you mentioned it earlier that we're looking for somebody to work for 100% pure financial fiduciary
If you want to be with a fiduciary firm and you're not looking to get rich but make a decent living, call Tom on Monday at 800-386-3004, 800-386-3004.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Would you like to talk to a real investment advisor for free? Set up an appointment at TalkingRealMoney.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
And we don't mention it often, but we are one of those 100% fiduciary firms. We do not sell commission products at our firm, Vestry, that Tom and I have owned now. This is our 10th anniversary, as a matter of fact, in October. So if you are looking for an advisor who will put your interests ahead of the firm's all the time, you ought to put us on your list of people to talk to at least. You can call us at 800-386-3004 on weekdays, 800-386-3004, or visit us anytime at vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestry, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. Are we done now?